8 years ago, our visioning board was concerned about succession here at Spiritus Christi. They were concerned about the continuity of the church. So Reverend Mary, our founding pastor, and I, at the time, were the only priests. And of course, we were getting older, so they were concerned about the future, what's going to happen after you guys. So they decided to create a succession plan. In October 2011, 8 years ago, they had a four-point plan. Do you want to hear that? What that was? Okay. First one, develop new young leadership. Two, hire young leaders and a new young priest to provide continuity. Three, integrate that new priest and transition before Reverend Mary and Father Jim retire. And four, attract young adults in their 20s and 30s. I'm happy to say that we have fulfilled all 4 points. We hired a younger pastor, Reverend Myra, who will complete her first year as pastor tomorrow. We hired two people in their 20s, Davis Craig and Stephanie Dunn. We've given new jobs to two people in their 30s, Mark Potter, who started this off, and Siobhan Potter. And we've started a ministry to young adults in their 20s and 30s. So we're thinking about the future. We've also been working on succession in our outreach programs. Our mental health center now has a plan for future leadership. The Grace of God Recovery House has a plan for future leadership. And both Jennifer House and Nielsen House have welcomed new directors in the last 2 years. At Jennifer House, Delina Harper was the leader, and you know her. She's a great director, following Judy. But it came time for Delina to move on. And so Delina called up Sarah Lee, who had come through the house as a resident. And she called Sarah, and she said, "Sarah, I want this house to be left in the hands of somebody who loves this place as much as I do. You're the one." Well, the only problem with that was Sarah already had a job. It was a good-paying job with New York State. She had benefits and pension, a lot of security, but you know what? That all went by the boards when she got that phone call from Delina. Sarah said, "I felt that God was calling me through her voice. All I could feel was joy in my heart. As the director, I would be the one to have the opportunity to greet the women when those handcuffs come off in our living room. And I'd be the one to say, 'Welcome home. You have a place to heal. Women who love you, help yourself to the food in the cupboard.'" Delina's succession plan was complete when she handed Sarah the keys. That was in January 2017. Sarah said, "Delina asked me never to give this particular set of keys to anybody else. I could make copies for other staff, but I was to keep her keys for myself. And that way she would stay with me." We both cried. We said a prayer together. It was a symbol of the torch being passed. The keys went from one to the other. Delina handing over the keys was very similar to the first reading where Elijah has a succession plan for Elisha. And he doesn't hand over the keys. He puts his mantle over the next one, over Elisha. Elisha was out. He was a farmer. He was out plowing the field. He had 12 oxen. And then Elijah comes up and throws his mantle over him. And at first, Elisha hesitated. He thought about his responsibilities at home. And he said, "Oh, I got to go back home. I got to say goodbye to everybody." But then he felt bad. He wanted to show some sign of his commitment. So he does an unusual thing. He sacrifices all 12 oxen. He kills them. He chops up his plow and makes firewood. And then he cooks the oxen on the fire and feeds everybody. So now what's he going to do? He's burned his oxen. He's burned his plow. He can never return to his former life of farming. It would be like a master mechanic melting down all their tools. It would be like a writer burning up their manuscripts. It would be like Sarah Lee giving up her New York State benefits to work at Jennifer House. It was like the missionaries that came to Scotland. They came in their boat. They brought their boat up on the shore. They set it on fire. In this way, there was no turning back. They were committed to missionizing Scotland. So that's what commitment's about. It's leaving something. Marriage is like that. The best marital advice you'll ever get is from Genesis. You leave father and mother, you cling to your spouse, and the two become one. The first part is important. You leave something. You leave father and mother, you leave the single life, you leave the bar scene, maybe you sell your sports car, whatever it is. You leave something, and you cling to your spouse. A long time ago, I did a wedding, and after the first year, the guy says to his new wife, "I would like a vacation from our marriage." She goes, "What?" He said, "I'd like to date a few women." She goes, "You're married. You can't be single and married at the same time. If you go to Buffalo, you can't stay in Rochester. So you got to choose." And you know, I like it when we see a football player give up the Super Bowl to be with his wife in labor. You choose. You choose to be with your wife over your career. I remember when Jim Smith was getting married, he asked Benny Danielli, a first-generation Italian guy, "Hey, Benny, what's the secret to a happy marriage?" "Shut your mouth." Somebody said, "The secret of a happy marriage for me is to be wrong 100% of the time." So you got to leave behind your pride, leave behind your need to be right. I was out with my brothers at a mom-and-pop diner. Frank and Helen ran this place on Eastridge Road. They're not there anymore, but maybe some of you went there. Helen cooks, and Frank is the waiter. So Frank comes over to take my brothers and my order. Daniel says, "I'd like bacon and eggs and pancakes, but I want the pancakes to come a little later." No, we can't do that. Well, Daniel says, "Why not? Just bring it a little later." "No, Helen don't like to cook it that way." He said, "It's not that hard. Just bring..." And my brother, who's been married a long time, he says, "Dan, the man is trying to say, I'm trying to save my marriage." And the guy goes, "Thank you, sir." So this guy had a choice. Does he go with his wife, or does he go with Daniel? Daniel is left in the dust, right? You have to choose. Something has to go. Many engaged couples write prenuptial agreements these days in case there's a divorce. You know, that makes sense on some logical level, but it's not the same as burning your bridge behind you. So all commitment is about leaving something. Leave something behind. In the gospel, there's three people that come up to Jesus, and they want to be disciples. The first guy says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." But of course, Jesus notices that he's kind of impulsive and he slows him down. He says, "Look, the birds have the nests, the foxes have dens, but the Son of Humanity has no place to lay his head." In other words, are you ready to rough it? We're not going to stay in any of those 5-star hotels. So you have to leave the comfortable life behind if you're going to follow me. Another person says, "I'll follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." And Jesus says, "Nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for my work. I don't want you looking back. You put your hand to the plow, you go forward." There's way too many of us that are going forward, but our eyes are in the rearview mirror. We could look in the past. People that have hurt us, mistakes that we've made, bad decisions that we've made. We're looking in the past. No, it's over. Go forward. Put your hand to the plow, be committed, and move forward, not backward. Another person comes up. "I'll follow you, Jesus, but first I have to make funeral arrangements for my father." And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead." In other words, first things first. Your business is about life, not death. The work of transforming this world is urgent. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Do it now. 50 years ago this week, people felt a sense of urgency at Stonewall Inn in New York City. On June 28, 1969, 50 years ago, police raided Stonewall Inn, which was a gay bar in Greenwich Village. Police had done that numerous times just to harass the gay patrons. They come in, they shake things up, they arrest people. But this time, the gay people pushed back. The police lost control, a riot erupted, and the LGBTQ community took to the streets in an uprising that lasted 6 days. This time, the patrons said no. just like Rosa Parks said no. And that no was heard around the world, and it began the gay rights movement. At the time, 1969, 50 years ago, homosexuality was defined as a mental illness by the medical profession. Same-sex sexual relations were a crime in 49 states, just 50 years ago. The LGBTQ community would no longer hide in closets. They would stand tall and proud. They weren't going to put up with being second-class citizens anymore. There was an urgency to their struggle. They learned from the people of color, from the civil rights movement, justice delayed is justice denied. President Obama designated Stonewall Inn as a historic place on the National Register. And there's a display in the public library downtown of the Stonewall 50th anniversary, and we're part of it. Go down to the, it's going to be there till July 20th. Corpus Christi and Spiritus Christi are both mentioned. There's a picture of Reverend Mary. And we're part of that struggle. We're part of that struggle because the LGBTQ community has bent the arc of the moral universe toward justice. Let the dead bury the dead. Let discrimination be a thing of the past. We need to be about life, not death. Another victory this month was the passage of the New York State Farm Workers' Rights Bill, which guarantees who says good things aren't happening? It guarantees farm workers three things: a day of rest every week, overtime pay, and the right to unionize. Mary Lou Aguilar and other members of the parish have helped bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice. Taking advantage of people of color out in the fields doing hard labor is a thing of the past. We need to be about life, not death. So Delina Harper had a succession plan, Elijah the prophet had a succession plan, and Jesus has a succession plan. Do you know what Jesus' succession plan is called? You and me. That's it. He says two simple words: follow me. He doesn't say follow the president. He doesn't say follow the politicians. He doesn't even say follow the leaders of the church. He doesn't say follow the Pope. Follow me. I remember when Mario Cuomo was the governor of New York, they said to him, you know, you're a Catholic. Why don't you always follow, as a governor, the rules of the Catholic Church? He said, because the Catholic Church is not my religion. Christ is my religion. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow me, he said. Burn your bridges behind you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So look, you and I are it. He's got no backup plan.